Friends, religion is a burden because you're never good enough. And friends, the bitter fruit of religious moralism is a life of fear and pride. It is a disease that eats away at our hearts. But the gospel of Jesus is altogether different.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you joined us today through this series on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Pastor Miller, many people become religious so that they can have more meaningful lives. But brother, there's something really dangerous and dark about just being religious.
Yeah. So Jesus is warning us here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that there's really two ways to live. There's the religious moralistic way, which is all about trying to be good enough for God. But that is a weight that is heavy. It's hard to carry. It leaves us trapped in cycles of fear, where we're constantly scared we're not enough, or pride, where we think we're good enough, but it just sets us up to fail because no one's righteous, no, not one. So the path of trying to earn our way into God's good graces will never work. That's the path of religious moralism. But Jesus is going to give us a better way, a way of freedom and life, the way of grace in the kingdom of God, the way of the gospel itself, that when we trust Jesus as our righteousness, there is a life of freedom and worship and love that flows naturally into all of our behaviors. And that's the kind of life we need. And that's where Jesus is going to point us today.
Oh, this is so good. Now, listen, beloved, you want to stay tuned after the message because Pastor Philip is going to help us discover the whole point of discerning between good fruit and bad fruit. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church for part two of the sermon, The Two Ways. Grab your Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 7. We're looking at verses 13 through 29.
Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not contrasting the way of the unrighteous with the way of the righteous. That's not the contrast throughout the sermon. He's contrasting the way of the Pharisees versus the way of Jesus. That's the contrast throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said, but I say to you, don't you be like those hypocrites when they give and pray and fast so that others would see them. When you pray, give, and fast, you do it in secret because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The way of the Pharisees, the way of Jesus. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been pitting himself against the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. And here in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, he is still drawing that distinction. And if you look carefully, you can see that. If the contrast, for example, is between the unrighteous and the righteous, then the language here of false prophets doesn't make any sense. The false prophets in sheep clothing. Prophets are those who claim to speak for God. So the wolves in sheep's clothing are people who are teaching the word of God. They're religious leaders. They claim to speak for God, but they're false guides. They're using the sheep for their own selves. And in the judgment day scene, you'll notice that the people who are cast out are not cast out for being worldly. They're not cast out for being worldly. They're actually really religious people, aren't they? All the things they're doing, they've done lots of good. They've built a lot of their religious resume. But they don't know Jesus. And these are the Pharisees, you see. Look at Matthew's summary of the sermon as he wraps it up in verse 28. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not like the scribes. So even in the close, Matthew says, this is how you're supposed to read this. Jesus versus the scribes and Pharisees. So we have the way of Jesus and the way of the Pharisees. The way of the Pharisees, the way of Jesus. The wide, easy, popular gate that leads to destruction is the way of the scribes and Pharisees. The Pharisees are the wolves in sheep's clothing. They are the diseased tree with the bad fruit. They're the ones with the religious resumes who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're the ones with the good-looking house built on sand that cannot withstand the storms of life. But the narrow, hard, unpopular way, that gate that leads to life, that's the way of Jesus. He's the authentic sheep, the true prophet of God. You can trust him. You can follow him and get close to him. He's the good tree with the good fruit that gives life. And on judgment day, if you are known to him, the gates of heaven will open wide to you. And if you build your life on his word, you will have a house that is built on the rock. You see the distinction? The two ways, the way of the Pharisees, the way of Jesus. Now, what tells them apart? What tells them apart? Let's walk back through this passage and look for clues, okay? Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So the way of the Pharisees is wide, it's easy, it's hugely popular. The way of Jesus is narrow, it's hard, it's less popular. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day were very popular. They had all the power, they ran all the synagogues. And they taught that if you would just be good enough, God would bless you with a good life. So here's the rules, keep them. And God will be happy with you and he'll give you a good life. Because good people get good lives. That's the message of the Pharisees. Good people get good lives. So shape up, clean up, get in line. This is the way to earn God's favor and to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friends, this is the message of religious moralism. Religious moralism. Just be good, act right, go to church, love people, give to the poor, do good, because God will see your religious moral efforts and reward you with the blessings of a good life. And in Jesus' day, as well as ours, this is the way most people relate to God. It has broad appeal. It's easily understood. It is the way most popular religion works. But the way of Jesus is altogether different. Because Jesus tells us you'll never be good enough. You'll never be good enough. That's why I will come and be your substitute. I have come to exchange my life for yours. I will take your sin and bear your death, and I will give you my own perfect righteousness so that you might live forever, clothed in my righteousness, accepted by God as children forever. I will make you right with God by grace through faith as you entrust yourself to me. My friends, that is good news. That is what the gospel means. It means good news. Religious moralism offers good advice. Here's what you've got to do. It's the way of the Pharisees. The gospel offers good news. This is what Jesus has done. This is the way of Jesus. It's the narrow gate, friends. It's the hard path. It's the less popular route, but it is the way to life, the abundant life of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. In other words, they're wearing a disguise. Where have we seen that imagery in the Sermon on the Mount of wearing masks or disguise? The hypocrites, the actors, the mask wearers, the Pharisees. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So the Pharisees, with their religious moralism, are diseased on the inside. That's what this metaphor is showing us. The Pharisees live in behavior modification and sin management. They look good on the outside. They're upstanding and moral citizens, but on the inside, their hearts are full of disease. Because if you're a Pharisee, there's only two ways that you can actually be good. You can use fear and pride to make yourself good. You know, be good. You don't want to get caught. Fear. Be good. People are watching. Pride. And notice what you're doing is you're being good, not for God or even for goodness sake, you're being good for yourself. You're leveraging your own self-interest to try to modify your behavior. And when you do good, it ends up feeding your pride and you go, look at me, I'm on a roll. Thank God I'm not like those sinners. And when you mess up and sin, it feeds your fear. What if people found out who I really am? And friends, religion is a burden because you're never good enough. And friends, the bitter fruit of religious moralism is a life of fear and pride. It is a disease that eats away at our hearts. But the gospel of Jesus is altogether different. The gospel slays our pride because all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. And we are far more sinful than we ever dared realize. And then the gospel relieves our fears because we're fully accepted by grace, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And so we are far more loved than we ever dared hope. And having been so loved, it melts our hearts and makes us want to love God in return and do what pleases Him. And so we start obeying Him from acceptance instead of obeying God for acceptance. Do you see the difference? Religious moralism obeys God for acceptance. A gospel person obeys God from acceptance. Imagine with me if you have two people. You have a religious moralist son who's not sure if his father loves him. He's trying really hard to prove himself. And so he comes home, he sees the lawn is unmowed, and he goes, I know, I'm gonna mow the lawn and prove to my father that I'm worthy of his love. And so you mow the lawn. And a gospel son comes home and knows that they are loved by their father, wakes up in that love, sees the unmowed yard, and says, you know what? I know how I'm gonna say I love you today. I'm gonna mow the yard. Both mow the yard, both do the good behaviors, but it comes from totally different hearts. The religiously moral heart is totally different than the gospel-centered heart. Friends, the sweet fruit of the gospel is a life of love. That's the healthy heart at the core of a gospel life. The heart that is full of religious moralism cannot help but bear the fruit of fear and pride. I know. I lived many years of my life in this. But a gospel heart, the tree that is full of the gospel, will always bear the fruit of love. It makes all the difference in the world. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad that Living Hope gets to be a part of your day. Now, if you've ever thought of supporting what you're hearing, we'd love to say thank you with a special resource. Just go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. We're glad you're here as you join us as we explore the dangers of religious moralism. Now, Pastor Philip, you noted that Jesus isn't contrasting unrighteousness and righteousness, but instead self-righteousness and a real heart for the gospel of righteousness. I don't know, brother. We often do something we think is good. Sometimes it's motivated by fear. We worry about the consequences, and so I better do the right thing. or sometimes is motivated by pride. I want others to see, look at me, look what I just did, look how kind I am. But we often don't even realize it, I think, what's really motivating us. So help us today. What's the alternative?
Yeah. Well, the alternative is love. That perfect love drives out fear. The love that we received in the gospel it comes by grace, and that destroys our pride. So instead of living to try to build a kind of self-righteousness to present it to God, to say, look at me, how good I am, aren't you impressed? Which is an exhausting way to live, right? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. That's the language of religious moralism, when we're constantly trying to perform for acceptance, to try to earn our way into God's good graces. That will never work. That always leaves us crippled with fear, dogged down by pride, and it just ruins everything that we're doing for God. Ultimately, we can do the right things, but the motivations are all corrupted underneath. But Jesus is giving us a totally different way, the way of the gospel, the way of grace, where the kingdom of God comes upon us, not because we're good, but because Jesus has been good in our place and for our sake. He substituted his life for ours. And that means we stand in him righteous and accepted and loved and forgiven, not because we have it all together, but because Jesus did. And he's enough for us. And when that penny drops, when that truth comes all the way down into our souls, it starts to change us. We don't have to be scared anymore, because we're not enough, but that's not the basis on which we stand. And we can't be prideful, because grace says we're far more sinful than we ever dared realize, and yet far more loved than we ever dared hope. So that love drops down in the middle of our heart, and it starts engendering all kinds of things like worship. I can't believe I get to have relationship with the God who is so beautiful and wonderful. And it gives us a sense of love. I've got to love. He's loved me. I've got to love him back. And out of gratitude and humble overflow, and like, it just starts. Now I want to do good things in order to please my Father, not because I'm earning that acceptance, but because I've already been accepted. And so I'm serving him not for acceptance, but from acceptance. And that's the big change, the gospel change that Jesus wants to make in our hearts. And, I know what this feels like, this pivot from religious moralism to the gospel, because this is my life story. I grew up in church. I called myself back then Gold Star Philip. I had a little chart, you know, those little charts when you're in Sunday school, and it's like, you brought your Bible today, you said your verse, you wore your little outfit or whatever, right? And you get little stars on your chart. And man, I had so many stars on my chart, but what I confused is I thought, what God wanted was me to be really, really good. And God loved good kids. That's what I thought this whole thing was about. And that's not the gospel. That's religious moralism. The gospel was when I realized that I was a sinner. And there were things in me that were broken and wrong. And I was the problem. And I realized in that moment, my only hope was Jesus. Hmm. And that, man, when that shift happened, when I realized, I used to be afraid that if God really knew who I was deep down, he'd never love me. But when I realized he saw me in all my brokenness and sin and all of my rebellion and loved me anyway for Jesus' sake, that melted me out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I went and did all the good things that I'd been doing all along with the bad heart and bad motivation, but now did them with worship and love and overflow and gratitude. It's the same behaviors, but a fundamentally different heart. And that's the heart that the gospel brings. And that's what Jesus is all about.
Oh, man, thank you for sharing your testimony. You talk about motivation, though, and even in the sermon, you gave the illustration of the story of the two sons who are mowing the lawn. Now, that's difficult for us to discern. Now, how are we to discern motives? You know, like you said, we're going to try and do the right thing. Maybe somebody asked us, or we believe it's the thing we should be doing. But to have that sense of discernment regarding motives, how do we do that?
Yeah. Well, Jesus talks about the trees and the fruits, right? The fruits that are on our lives. And it drives me a little nuts. Some people read that passage and they go, oh, okay, my job's to be a fruit inspector. I'm going to go around and I'm going to just look at all the other people around me, and I'm going to kind of point out wherever they're out of line. That's my job.
How do I sign up for that?
And it's kind of the opposite impulse. Jesus is saying, you got to be careful who you follow. You know, you're to discern the Pharisees. Do they have good kingdom fruit, full of the grace and goodness of God? Or are they doing things for the wrong motive? So he's saying, be careful who you follow. Discern your leaders. Look for the fruits of the kingdom in their lives. So that's good. We should do that. But his primary point here is to look at ourselves, to look at our own hearts, and to say, what is the fruit that's coming out of my life? And what are the roots that that fruit is connected to, right? So the fruits are coming out. So I have behaviors coming out of my life. And how are they connected to the roots? Are the roots ultimately religious roots where I'm trying to perform to be accepted by God? Or are those roots rooted in the gospel where I realize I am accepted by God and therefore the goodness is naturally and necessarily flowing from that heart that's been changed? One is striving and the other one is resting and abiding. And that distinction, I think, is what Jesus is pressing us toward, that sort of heart examination, to recognize sometimes we even do good things, but do them for the wrong reasons. And that means, which is weird, but like we have to learn to repent, not just from our obviously bad sins, but for the good things we've done for selfish reasons, out of fear and pride. Like we need to confess even our goodness isn't good enough. And Jesus is our only hope.
We're here at the pinnacle now of the Sermon on the Mount. I know our listeners need some hope. So where is the hope? And you're calling us to self-examination, to discernment, to examine our motives. We need some hope here.
Yeah. Well, the whole setup of the Sermon on the Mount presses us to this point, right? It's where Jesus began, right before the Sermon on the Mount began. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Stop everything. Stop the way you're living. Make a U-turn. Everything you know and think you know about life is wrong. You can't go on living the way you've been. You can't stay here. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. It's come in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's a whole new way of life that can begin right now if you grab a hold of Jesus and you stop building your life on your own and you start building a life on him. So, because he's the solid rock. He is the hope we need. And if we build our lives on Jesus and Jesus alone, that he's our righteousness, he's the only one who can make us right with God. He's the one who can give us the Holy Spirit, who can transform our lives from the inside out, give us that new heart we can't give ourselves. He can do that surgery and change us and make us new so that we actually begin to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That kingdom life is available right now if we will let go of everything and grab a hold of Jesus and Jesus alone. And so there's abundant hope right here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus is the answer and he's inviting us to build our lives on him.
We don't have to stay where we are. Amen and amen. There is hope, beloved. And it's found in building your life on the solid rock of Jesus and Jesus alone. You know, two men once saw the problems and poverty in their world and hoped for freedom and a better world. Their names were Karl Marx and D.L. Moody. Many people don't realize that Marx and Moody were contemporaries, but the legacies they left behind are as different as night and day. One set out to liberate people and ended up enslaving them. The other preached forgiveness of sin and saw people truly set free. Now, that's why I'm really excited to tell you about a brand new book releasing this month titled Marx and Moody. And it's written by our very own Pastor Irwin Lucer and historian Greg Quiggle. In these turbulent times when man-centered ideas are surfacing all around us, this book holds up two worldviews side by side and helps us stand on the rock. The good news of the gospel. Now, you can be among the first to get a copy. Simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. As we build our lives on the solid rock, we're made right before God and we can stand firm in any storm. And next time, we'll talk about the righteousness that we all have in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.